Blog Talk Radio.
Great God evening, everyone, and welcome to Totally Whole. I am your host, Pastor Bridget, for tonight's show. And again, let me give a special shout-out to Dr. Rosemary Cook for this opportunity to share with the listening audience on tonight. Well, tonight we will be talking about fighting fear, the fear factor. Let me ask you this question as we start tonight's show. When was the last time you saw a good fight? I mean, a good fight. When was the last time you were in a fight? And if you know anything about fighting, it takes courage, it takes skill, it takes heart, it takes energy when you're talking about fighting. Fighting takes emotion. It takes a whole bunch of things in terms of the emotional aspect of the individual. You have to put some heart in there. You have to even use your mind when we're talking about fighting. And a good fighter dare not go into the ring without training, preparation, determination, and courage. He or she comes with the intent of fighting to win. A good boxer never goes in the ring intending to fail, intending not to win the battle. They go in with the intent of winning the fight. So when it comes to fighting and combating fear, you can't come in the ring with a timid or faint heart. Do I have anybody out there agree with that? You cannot come to the ring with being timid and with a faint heart. What you have to understand is that fear is indeed a force to be reckoned with. Yes. Fear is defined as an emotion that's induced by a threat perceived by living entities, which causes a change in brain and organ function and ultimately leads to a change in behavior, such as running away, hiding from, or being stopped in your tracks. So fear is a force to be reckoned with. And let me just stop right here for those of you who are listening in. I want you to go and perhaps text somebody or Facebook somebody or send some type of message or call somebody and invite them on to the show tonight, because I believe that God has something for us to hear about this fear factor, that he wants to break some of us free from that bondage of fear. And understand that fear is a strong man. Fear is a strong man. And at some point in all of our lives, we have dealt with fear. We have dealt with fear. So let me talk a little bit about good fears, because not all fears are bad.
Yes.
Good fears. And to be exact, when I'm talking about good fears, God created us with the capacity to fear as a protective mechanism, a protective motion sensor. God put in each and every one of us this protective mechanism, which allows us to safeguard ourselves and use our God-given radar to identify danger and harm. It's like, when you come into a place in the road and they're maybe doing some kind of construction or maybe some type of natural calamity has taken place or flooding or what have you, these signs, and then they allow, let you know that perhaps danger is ahead of you. So God placed in each and every one of us safeguards to help us to identify and to detect where there's danger and harm. And secondly, God has given us what's called a God-given fear. It is the kind of fear that enables us to respect God as the supreme authority and to reverence his holiness, his majesty, and his sovereignty. The scripture teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So God has also placed in us fear, and that is the good kind of fear, to fear him. And so that the Bible talks about the fear that the Lord gives us is the beginning of wisdom. So the reality is, without reverence and respect of our all-powerful Creator, we are prone to make decisions based on finite and faulty understanding when we are not operating in godly fear. That's why he says that the beginning of wisdom starts with what? The fear of the Lord. And I read somewhere that the fear of the Lord is to be like what's called God consciousness. The fear of the Lord is to be God conscious, to be God conscious. So then if we are God conscious, we submit to his direction and lordship over our lives. And I think that's really important, because there are occasions in our lives when we're not allowing God consciousness to override our decision-making process, and we're not operating out of a godly kind of fear, we then engage in behaviors and activity that is not God-like. And when we begin to operate and to act in those ungodly behaviors and allow them to permeate, you know, our being, then we walk outside of the rim of wisdom, and we open ourselves up to things that can overtake us to the point where we find ourselves trying to swim, and we, you know, swim in deep waters, and we can't see our way through because we have not allowed the radar that God has placed in us to signify to us that danger is lurking ahead because of behavior that we have chosen outside of what God has destined for us. Because the truth of the matter is, when we have godly fear, there are some places we won't go. There are some things we won't do. So I guess the question I also want to put to you is, how are you on the scale of godly fear? How much do you fear God? And again, we're not talking about the kind of fear where you're scared, but the kind of scared to the point where you think God is going to whip you and beat you, and you want to hide under a bed or go somewhere and hide in the closet. We're talking about the kind of fear where you reverence God, where you respect his supreme authority over your life, where you succumb to the Lord's lordship over your life. That kind of fear. The scripture says you ought to work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. So just being mindful of that, I think, is important when we talk about fear, because, again, not all fear is bad fear. There is the good kind of fear, the God kind of fear, the God kind of fear that God has placed in each and every one of us so that we can, you know, see the warning signs, the danger signs, and stop and realize that, you know, danger is ahead and what the possibilities are if we proceed and go forward. And so with that said, it is right that we fear God, that we fear God. And also it is right that we warn our children. And this is, again, I believe this is the kind of fear that God has placed in all of us, the kind of fear, again, that warns us and gives us the protection that we need. And so it is right for parents to warn their children about talking to you know, strangers. It is right for parents to share with their children the dangers of folk touching them in their private parts and in places where they shouldn't be. It is right to warn your children not to get into the car and not to put their seat belts on. It is right to discuss what it means to disobey God and to disobey your parents. And that's the kind of good fear that we ought to have, that we ought to possess. This is what's called healthy fears, fears that protects. However, beloved, there's also bad fear. That's the kind of fear that prevents us from peace and progress, the bad fear, and it's this kind of fear that we must fight. That's the kind of fear that we must not allow to have authority over us, that we must not allow it to take, the kind of precedence to cause us to fall to the place where we can not move forward, where we become handicapped and we become paralyzed. We have to be aware of that kind of fear, and I believe that's the kind of fear that Job struggled with when he said that what I have feared the most has come upon me. To me, it indicates that somewhere in Job's life he perhaps had had some fear that some calamity would visit his home. With that said, I want to introduce my special guest on tonight, and that is Dr. Lisa. She is the founder and CEO of Victims and the Sanctuary. She is a part of the Female Clergy Support Group of Maryland. She's also a member of the Governor's Office Community Initiative Interfaith Domestic Violence Coalition. She is a lifetime partner and member of the House of Ruth and Commission on the Status of Women at the United Nations. She is a member on the Commission of the Status of Women at the United Nations. And she's also a member of the Commissions to End Discrimination Against Women. She is a professor at Coppin State University. So I am glad to welcome Dr. Lisa to Totally Hold. And so, as you know, Dr. Lisa, tonight's show is about fighting fear, the fear yes. factor. Fighting yes. fear. And so welcome, Dr. Lisa, to Totally Whole on tonight.
Thank you so much for inviting me, and I'm just excited to be a guest tonight, especially talking about the fear factor.
Amen. And so you heard a little of my opening talking about the bad fears and discussing, well, I didn't really get into the bad fears to a great extent, but talking about the good fears and how God has placed in all of us the capacity of fearing and what that looks like and why he placed that fear capacity in us and to serve as a protection to warn against danger and harm. And I talked about how that protective fear mechanism serves, even as we who are parents are trying to rear our children and to make sure that, you know, they are aware of dangers that lurk around them, like strangers who may wish to do them harm and you know, individuals that may try to invade and to take away their innocence and touch them in inappropriate ways. Talked about that kind of thing and the importance of obeying God and what, you know, disobeying God looks like and even disobeying our parents and why God even put that out there, even within the Ten Commandments, the importance of obeying God and obeying your parents and how that is called healthy fear, but also, you know, the importance of what we have to fight when we talk about fighting fear, because that's not the type of fear that we fight. That's the type of fear that we welcome, that we embrace. But tonight, We want to just really hone in and zone in on talking about the bad kind of fear, because that's the kind of fear, as I've already stated, that presents that prevents us from walking in peace and progressing. And that's the kind of fear that we have to be vigilant about, the kind of fear that we have to fight, the kind of fear I believe that Brother Job did had when he declared, "What I fear the most has come upon me," so that fear does not become, you know, something that direct our decision-making, that type of fear that does not become so a part of us that we can't see beyond and that we can't get out of it and we can't progress forward. So
I'm so glad that you mentioned two types of fear so our listeners could understand and even believers understand that, you know, one worship leads you to worship. One fear leads you to worship God because it is a reverence fear, which is a knowledge and acceptance of who God is. And the other fear is a destructive fear. It will lead you away from God. And that is one of the key points. If you don't know, if you fear and you're not, it doesn't lead you to worship, then the fear comes from something else. And that fear shows up in Genesis, when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit, and the Bible says that they hid themselves, they put clothes on, and they hid themselves when God came calling for them. And so that's understanding that you know that something has happened where something drives you away from an intimate relationship with God. It makes you hide. It makes you unapproachable, and people have to understand that type of fear.
Amen, amen, amen. I know you were sharing with me at some point in time about something that God had shared with you about fear, and he had given you a revelation. And so, you know, what say you about the art of fighting fear and how does that look? And then I also want you to talk about how fear is used in intimate partner violence and domestic violence, how fear is used.
I had a dream. I was sharing with you, I had a dream. And oftentimes I get a visitation from the Lord, but this particular night I got a visitation from Satan. And for most of the vision, he was trying to pass himself off as the angel of light. He was doing all these tricks and trying to manipulate me to believe that he indeed was an angel of light. But when he could not do that, he took me to a window where there were a lot of people on the other side. And he said, "I have these people here. And the reason that I have them is because they're afraid, they have fear." And even when he stepped out of the way, the people would not come across that divide. They would not come past him. He says, "I don't even have to do anything. I just have to make them afraid." And as I watched this scenario play out, God helped me to understand that fear is a spirit. And although it manifests itself in different aspects, in worrying, and being afraid, having physical fear or being overwhelmed, that it really is a spirit that's driving that force, that's driving that behavior. And what it looks like is paralyzation. People could not move even though they had no chains. They could not move even though they did not have a prison. They were just paralyzed and could not move. And the Lord let me know through that vision that I needed his help and people need his help to be free from the chains of Satan that even aren't visible. They are invisible. And that's why our fight must be a spiritual fight in dealing with fear, no matter how it shows itself. The fear that keeps us paralyzed, from pursuing a relationship with God, the fear that keeps us on the other side of a blessing, we have to be able to use the power of the Holy Spirit to break that fear and to break those chains, so that the thing that Satan has given people to imagine, to let them know it's not there. It's just an imagination, because God says, I have all power. And therefore, even though the enemy is roaring like a lion, that's all it is. It's a roar. It's no power. But if he could get people to imagine that there are blockades, to imagine that they are stuck, to imagine they cannot move, then he's got them on imagination.
That's powerful. That's very, very powerful. And I just want to kind of like interject right there and then have you to complete, you know, your thoughts in terms of how it interferes and how fear is used with the intimate partner violence and domestic violence. And I can recall, you know, my own personal story, as I shared last time when we were on air, about my, you know, my own experience. And I think it's important that we're able to be transparent. And all of us have a story. We all have our own journeys. But fear for me was something, you know, that I never thought that I would experience the kind of fear that I experienced. And as I've shared before, you know, you know, there are some things you may be afraid, you know, especially as a child growing up, you know, if I lose my parents or if I don't get good grades, you know, those kind of fears. And, you know, what if, you know, I'm bullied, those are the kind of fears, you know, that I've had, but had growing up, not necessarily being bullied, but the kind of fears, you know, what if I lost my mom, and, you know, what if I didn't get good grades, that kind of thing. So I call those little small fears, and those were fears I could conquer easily once I really focused and put my mind to it and you know, prayed about it and kind of refocus my thoughts, even with what if I lost my mother, that kind of thing, you know, having lost my father prior to me even being born. My mother was 6 months pregnant with me, and then losing a stepfather at 12 years old. So, of course, there was always the fear of losing my mother as a young child. So I did lose her at the age of 19 years old, and I recall vividly when she was diagnosed with cancer, and we went to live with my grandmother so that she could help out. And I can remember sitting on the top of the stairwell and saying to God, you know, in my mind, again, you know, not very mature, in the Lord. And so I remember saying these words to God, you know, looking at my mother going through this battle and seeing how sick she was. I remember saying to him, you know, what will I do, you know, if you take my mother? You already took my father, you know, you took my stepfather, and if you take my mother, what am I going to do? And so that was a real big fear for me. And so, you know, unfortunately, she did lose her battle to cancer. But God gave me the strength. And so I was able to overcome that. I was able to overcome that. And, you know, even with the grades thing, you know, working hard and doing what I need to do to get the thing done. But one fear that I experienced was so devastating, and so it just paralyzed me. When I decided, as God led me to, after fighting him, going into the Navy, I had to go through what was called Naval Officer Candidacy School. And so part of the training was that I had to learn how to swim. And so for me, that was a scary thing because mm-hmm. when I was 12 years old, I got into the pool. What possessed me to get into the pool, you know, at summer camp? Knowing I didn't know how to swim. See, that's how, you know, sometimes we just do some of the craziest things. And it doesn't yes. just happen when we 12. Some of us are still doing crazy things as adults. And so yes. I take my little crazy self, and Dr. Lisa, I decided, all the kids in the pool, I just thought it would be something fun. I was like, oh, my God, look at them in the pool. They look like they're having such, you know, a great time. And yes. I figured I would get in the pool, too, because it looked easy. It looked really easy. So I called myself, I'm going to get in this pool, and I'm going to swim, too. Never had a swim lesson in my life. Got in the pool. Lo and behold, old girl begins to just starting in the water. Here I go in the water. I'm starting to drown. And I could feel myself, I'm kicking and, you know, and trying to breathe. Again, not knowing what I'm doing, and somebody, thank God, came and rescued me. So it happened twice because I figured, okay, what happened that one time? And then it happened again. What, you know, just stupid. And so when I got to officer candidacy school, we had to learn how to swim. Mm-hmm. So I was a little reluctant, and, I could stay, you know, in the portion of the water, you know, that wasn't the high level water, but stay where it was maybe about three feet. Okay, I'm like, I can manage this, you know. I'm 5'2". I can manage this. This is not gonna be a problem. But lo and behold, you know, I got through that. I got through that. But lo and behold, weather came. Was when I was told I had to jump from a higher platform. Now, mind you, okay, I did learn how to swim. I learned how to swim, and I learned how to swim in deep water. So I felt so good about myself. I was like, yeah, you know, I accomplished this part, and I got over that fear, not knowing that the other part of the swimming training and the test was that included you had to jump off the higher platform, because when you go into the Navy, you go on there and you know more than likely you're going to be assigned attached to a ship. All right? Now, I'm not thinking about that, you know, because if something happens to the ship and, you know, it begins to go down, you may, more than likely, you know, if you don't get in the boat, you have to jump. You're going to have to jump. All righty? And so I walk up there. I'm fine as I'm walking up. But it was when I got to the edge, and the lifeguard is down in the water below me, and he's saying, jump. And all I could do, I froze up like a thing of ice, a sheet of ice. I froze.
Wow.
And it was like my feet were buried in cement. I could not go forward. In my mind, I was saying, jump. You see, but everything else was saying no. No. I was saying to myself, jump. And I could yeah. not move if I wanted to. And so all I could do, though, is look behind me and say, that's the safe place. Let me move back. I didn't care what the lifeguard was saying to me down in the at the bottom and in the water. I didn't care what he said. All I could see was that if I jump, my body is not going to come back up to the top. What I had was called projected fear. Projected fear is the kind of fear that is triggered by a negative past experience. That's what I was dealing with. A negative kind of fear that triggered in me, that negative experience that I had when I almost drowned twice. And so I knew that I had to pass it. And so I went back the next day, and I told myself, you going to jump? I mean, you know how you just pump yourself up. You like your own cheerleader, your own coach. You can do it. You can do it. That's what I was telling myself. So when I got up there again, it happened to me, and I could hear the gunny sergeant saying, you better jump. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm like, I'm not jumping nowhere. Then I get in an argument with him about how I'm not going to jump. I'm not going, you can't make me do anything. So it happened to me once again. So when I left, I got angry with myself. And I got mad with the devil. And I called some saints up. I said, I need y'all to pray for me because I got to a place, Dr. Lisa, where I said, I cannot allow this fear to control me, to have
yes.
power over me, because it did. It had power over me. And I have never, because when you talk about the spirit of fear is such an ugly thing. It's a horrible thing, and I would not wish that kind of fear on anyone. And I went back to the barracks, and I said, I took some scripture out. I began to pray. I
yes.
fervently prayed to the point where I was crying and snotting, and I was repeating those scriptures, and I was building my spirit man up with the word of God. And I prophesied to my own self. I said, when you go back tomorrow, you are going to jump. You
yes.
are going to, because I was quoting, you know, the word of the Lord, all the scriptures about, the, you know, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of love, power, sound mind, and all this. I was quoting all the scriptures I knew on about faith and, I mean, about fear rather than overcoming it.
Yes.
But when I went back, this third go around, I went to the end of the pool, got up, got out. They said, well, you know what you got to do. And they were at that point. It was so wonderful because everybody in the pool was beginning to cheer me on. You can do it. You can do it. You
yes.
can do it. Got up to the edge, Dr. Lisa, and I looked down. No, actually, I didn't look down. I looked straight forward. I looked straight forward. I didn't look around me, and I said, God, in the name of Jesus, I prayed before I jumped. And girlfriend jumped, and guess what? I was so liberated when I jumped in that water and realized my body came back up. I got out of that water and went and jumped again. They were like, well, go ahead. You go ahead with your bad self. Because
yeah.
the liberation of
yeah.
being able to let go of that fear was so empowering that I knew that I could
yeah.
no longer go back to that place. And I had to let the devil know.
Yes.
That you have no power over me with this ever again.
Yes.
And God has given me the victory. And just to show you that he has given me the victory, let me do it one more time and again. You
yes.
see? One more time and again. So I had to get free from that projective fear, you know, that triggered those negative past experiences.
Yes.
And there are some folk who deal in, you know, that whole projective fear thing, that they are still bound by those past negative experiences. And I believe
yeah.
that's why some folk can't move, even with marriage, Dr. Lisa. When we talk about marriage, some people who may have had a negative experience in marriage, or, you know, had marriage failed for one reason or another. And so they
yeah.
get locked in that projected fear. And so they think, okay, if perhaps, you know, God sent them somebody and some wonderful person, they, you know, they become, you know, gun shy as it relates to marriage. And to mention
yeah.
marriage just freaks them out. And they become nervous and apprehensive.
Yes. You can talk yourself out of a blessing.
Yeah.
And usually what happens is that fear starts with a thought that is negative, and that self-talking that we do, we can talk ourselves right out of a season. We can talk ourselves into missing a blessing. We can talk ourselves into a bondage that we can't even get out of because our minds, God has created us, our minds to be that powerful, but when it's used in a negative and destructive way, it becomes a detriment to our own selves. Some people can't even leave the house, Pastor. Some people can't do anything because of fear.
I tell you that fear is something, you know, it's ugly. It is brutal.
It is.
And it could be most horrific when it has you in its grips.
I have worked at an altar. I'm sorry, Pastor. I've worked at an altar where I knew God was going to deliver this young lady. And I told people, I said, move that. Because when she breaks, it's going to manifest itself. And she broke like somebody had been holding her for years. She wanted to be free. She wanted to be loosed, and we prayed over her, and she took off running like somebody had just freed her from jail. I mean, was that powerful release. And after talking with her, what I came to understand is that she was afraid of going back to that fear. And once she found out and tasted what liberty was, she didn't want to go back. She did not want to go back. And so to those who have experienced being liberated and being set free, you know you don't want to go back.
No, absolutely not.
And will do everything to keep from going back to that place.
Amen. So very true. Hallelujah. I know about that. I know about that, and it is a wonderful thing to be liberated from fear. It's a wonderful thing to be able to walk in God's freedom and to be able to move and to know that the enemy no longer controls you and that you have power.
Yes.
And that you are an overcomer, and that you are a victor, you know, that you are indeed a victor over fear. It's like, you know, after coming, let me tell you something, after coming through that place, that spirit of fear, I'm at a place, I have, after coming through that, knowing what that is, and like that young lady who did not ever want to go back, you know, I believe is Will, I think his name, Will McDowell, he sings a song, I won't go back, I can't go back.
Yes.
That's my testimony with that fear. I won't go back. I can't go back. I cannot go back, and I won't go back. So once being, you know, in a place of fear like that, for me, that is not a place that I would ever go back to.
No.
After knowing what it is and knowing how it feels and knowing what it does to you, and when everything in your system shuts down, and when God frees you, that's why I was able to go back and do it again. You see?
Absolutely.
And so go back, and when I say do it again, jump and go again, you know, jump into that water without any fear, without any trembling, without any hesitation, without any, you know, intimidation. I could go back instantly because I knew that I had overcome and that now is my that's my liberty, and let me walk in it with boldness.
Yes.
And that's what we have to do. So I want to go back to asking you how fear is used in intimate partner violence and domestic violence.
Yes. When an abuser has a victim, the abuser learns the type of control and the level of control to make that person do something or behave in a manner that person doesn't want to be controlled by. And the fear part, even though it doesn't seem real to us, is very real to the victim. And some of that fear can be threats, threatening family members, threatening harm, statements that will threaten even children. And so an abuser uses these tactics of fear to keep an abused victim in a relationship, and then to levels that the abuser doesn't even have to say anything. It can be a look. It can be a presence. It can be a type of behavior that is perceived by the victim that will keep that victim isolated, that will keep that victim in that relationship and afraid to leave because of the perceived danger. And victims, what we don't understand, if the victim perceives that that danger is real to them, then we who are on the outside cannot talk them out of that. That's their reality. And the abuser knows just how much. And often we find victims who have been battered in the most extreme way physically. And even the ones that have died, the abuser, the threat he was able to carry out. And I only say he because women still make up the majority population of victims in intimate partner violence, but able to carry out those threats. And so that fear was very real. And see, that's what our enemy does. He makes it so overwhelming and so lifelike that we are unable to move as believers. And the more that we believe that irrational type of behavior, the more depressed and the more oppressed we become. And that's why we have to be conscious about the things that we think about, and that we are able to self-check ourselves against those thoughts that would come in to control us in a way that is unhealthy for believers. Because this is what I found out, that fear and faith cannot coexist in the same place.
Amen. Amen.
And we want to have more faith than we want to do fear.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And you know what? That's why we need help. That's why, number one, we have the Holy Ghost to help us. And that people who are in intimate partner violence relationships, they need help too. But we cannot help beyond that person. We cannot make that person do anything. If we make somebody do something, we are as bad as the abuser. And we cannot be that victimization. We have to allow victims to make decisions for themselves. We can give them healthy recommendations. We can give them resources. But if they themselves don't make that step, then there's nothing that we, even though we stand on the outside and see how terrible it is, can do anything to help that person.
My. You know, I really appreciate what God has given you, the assignment that God has given you, and that is to really make us aware within the body of Christ and
yes,
those who are in the sanctuary, aware
yes,
of this issue, and to deal with it and to come face to face with it, because the fear that goes with it is most devastating. most devastating, and it is real. It is definitely real.
But what's also real is victory.
Amen.
Victory
Amen.
Is very real, too. And a
Amen.
Victim can become a victor.
Amen.
That's the beautiful part about the power of the Holy Ghost and being able to be made free, that it can happen. It is a possibility.
That's right. Amen. And we thank God for the power. That's why he says that he has not given, the spirit of fear, but of love, power in the sound mind.
Yes.
The power
Hallelujah.
Of the Holy Spirit, you see, and love to overcome and to fight back fear. And so,
and in that order. In that order.
Hallelujah. And as we, continue in the conversation, I'm going to open the lines up in a minute for individuals who want to call in. And you may have a question. You may have a comment. So we want you to, think about what you want to say as we begin to open the lines up, if you feel so led to call in. One of the things, Dr. Lisa, we talk about when we looking at fear is sometimes fear that's perceived fear that's in the mind, the kind of imaginary fear.
Yes.
Fear of the unknown.
Yes.
And what that does. And it's been said that 90% of all fears are imaginary fears. And so talk a little bit about, just before we have folks to call in, about that imaginary fear of the unknown.
You said a key word, unknown. Because we don't know, we can come up with all types of different imaginations about circumstances and about outcomes. But the key word is don't know. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. None of us know. But the powerful thing is trusting in the Lord about the unknown things. We weren't built to know or predict tomorrow, but we were built to trust God who does know about tomorrow.
Amen.
Since I cannot control tomorrow, I cannot control the days beyond the day, and all I have is right now, then I choose to put my trust in the one that has all knowledge of everything.
Amen.
Because the end of that fear is that something terrible will happen to us. But faith and trust in God says, whatever happens, I will make all things work together for good for you.
Amen.
And so we have to use scripture to combat that which we create in our minds and our imaginations. Because we don't know. And see,
Amen.
Many believers and many saints are going to psychics just to find out, just to get a glimpse into the unknown and to tap into things illegally in the spirit. I have to say illegally in the spirit.
Amen.
To find out things that they don't know, but would rather go to a card reader, a psychic, a palm reader, rather than trust in the Lord.
Amen.
And I challenge believers, if you hear me, I challenge you to put your trust in God and not in those cards and not in the hands of somebody who's getting their source is not from God. It's illegal.
Illegal. And what happens when you deal in illegal things in the spirit, what happens?
Yes, you make yourself susceptible.
That's right. Absolutely so. And you open the door for worse things to come upon you. absolutely so.
Absolutely.
And you really are moving into a dangerous realm.
Yes.
That's why the Lord warns us of dealing in divination and, you know, the whole thing about the cards and the crystals and those kind of things, just to be really careful about that.
Yes, I'm concerned that Christians talk about that. I get really concerned.
Mm-hmm. The mixing.
Things we need
careful
to know.
Mixing.
Yes, God will let us know.
Yeah, he definitely will let us know. With that said, and I want to invite those of you who are listening in who desires to call in. The number is 646-929-0630. And if you called in that number already and you want to share with us or have some questions, just press 1. Press 1 so that could share your thoughts and have your say or ask a question of Dr. Lisa or myself on fighting fear, fighting fear. And, you know, I think, Dr. Lisa, one of the things that people have to fight when dealing with fear is the shame that comes with having fear. Because, you know, there are times when people aren't able to break free of fear because they don't want to tell somebody that they're fear and they are afraid of being judged.
Yes.
You know, by other Christians or other people, you know, who may have greater faith than they do. And so they continue in that pool and sea of fear because of fear of being ridiculed and you know, and being judged or humiliated. And that's not the place that God has designed for us to be in. And
no.
I think that we have to make sure that we, you know, have a safe place for people who want to be able to share their fears and create a safe atmosphere, you know, that's empowered with victory and empowered with love and for people to be able to freely share what it is that they fear or, the fear that has them in its grips.
Yes. Any time that the believer starts to become isolated, that is contradictory to the Word of God. And that's what Satan's desire. If I can get you isolated, then I can get you cut off.
Mm-hmm.
Cut off from other believers, cut off from the source of comfort, cut off from the Word of God, cut off and isolated. And it's a pain. It's a pain that comes with that.
And
knowing the outcome
is
detrimental and the outcome is destructive, and you know it's not God.
Mm-hmm.
Because God says, and I believe it's in Jeremiah, when he says, the plans I have for you are plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you hope in the future. And so if you feel the opposite of that, then you know that's Satan.
Amen. And so, you know, if somebody's listening tonight, to what we have been sharing about fear, and for the person, you know, who can't seem to dig deep enough, because, you know, I have folk who, and I'm sure you do too, Dr. Lisa, who come to you and who seek out counsel and, you know, want to be delivered and want to be free. Because I'm going to talk about some of the steps to take to fight fear. Because there's a process.
Yes.
We know the Word of God is a part of that process. We know the Word of God is the very thing, and the power of the Holy Spirit is the very source that sets us free. Amen?
Yes.
That sets us free and gives us our liberty. Hallelujah. So I think it's important that when we're talking about the freedom and the deliverance and the healing and the liberty, that a part of the steps that we take to be free from fear is, one, the decision has to be made. You have to make a decision first and foremost to wanting to be free. And you have to first face your fears. You got to face them. That's step number one, I believe, Dr. Lisa, is to face your fears.
Yes.
And then number two, you know, after you face them, because I go back to the whole process of that whole water ordeal with me, you know, jumping off of that platform. Facing. Be real. You see, and a lot of times, you know, folk don't want to deal in reality. They don't want to deal in reality. They want to sugarcoat it, and they want to call it something else. And so part of that facing it is then you name it.
Yes.
You name it. You write. If you got to write it down, you write it down. You name it. You name that. You say, you speak what this is.
Yes.
And then you got to make a commitment to disagree with it. You know, you got to disagree, and disagreeing with it is reminding and informing and serving notice on the enemy. You will not hold me captive. When the Lord says, whom the Son has set free is what? Free indeed.
Indeed.
Right? Free indeed.
indeed.
You know, it is of a certain thing. It is a fact. Unequivocally, you are free indeed. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And then the other thing is you begin to then meditate and you pray scripture. And that's a part. That's what I had to do. Meditate. And this is the thing. Let me say this. A lot of us do not meditate.
No.
And I'm talking about something spooky and something, you know, scary and, you know, nothing like that. Meditate. David, what? Meditated day and night.
Yes.
Meditate and then pray the word of God back to him. Pray.
Yeah.
Other thing, after you've done all of that, then you got to take action. Take authority over it. And that's what I did. Took authority over it. And when you take authority over it, you begin to see, okay, how big is your God?
Yes.
And you focus in on the power that has been given to you, the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The power that raised him resides in me. You see,
yes.
I then take authority over fear. And when you take that authority, you also then begin to decondition your mind with God truth. You recondition your mind with God truth. You see? And so I want to go back. I for some reason, I just want to go back to this whole marriage thing about people who are struggling with that whole marriage piece, those who have been married. Recondition your mind. Just because that didn't work out, you see, perhaps you moved outside of the will of God and you jumped ahead of God and you got sidetracked. But God, you know, condition yourself with God's truth. It is not good for man to be alone. And if you have those desires, if you know, if God has not given you the spirit to hold yourself and to live without that type of relationship, then praise God for that. But if you still have that desire and you want to have an intimate relationship to that level, and you're stuck because you are still in that mode of, you know, of fear that you once, you know, because of based on past experiences, you then need to recondition your mind with God truth, that he is a healer of the broken heart, and he can mend and put things back together again. He will restore the breach places, you see. So begin to recondition your mind. You know, you're not, for those who are afraid of failure, you know, you're not a failure. Greater is he that is in you. Recondition your mind with God truth. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, right? So I am the head and not the tail. Then I recondition my mind even as I'm meditating and praying. My mind is being reconditioned.
Yeah.
And we know it's ultimately transformation, but what it really is, your mind, you're reconditioning the way you think. Because if we don't do that, Dr. Lisa, then fear then impedes our you know, opportunity and the ability to make sound decisions. And we can't, it impedes our progress and our purpose and our peace of mind and willingness to love.
We do.
Right?
We sacrifice a lot because of fear. We could receive so many blessings that God has intended for us if we didn't worry as we do, if we didn't have anxiety, if we did not fear. We could release those things in the name of Jesus and come to the place where we can say, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me.
Amen, amen, amen. And see, that's God, and I love that because that's God's truth. I can, you see.
Okay.
And I think that's a great declaration to end on, I can. You see,
I can.
And then I can, I will. You know, the Lord engine that could, I believe I can, I know I can. You see what I'm saying? You're building yourself up. Yes, I can. And so, beloved, face your fear. For those of you who find yourself in a place of fear, and those of you who may know someone in a place of fear, you may not be you. Share this. Face the fear. Make that decision. Name it. Write it down. Make a commitment to disagree with it. Then meditate and pray scripture. Okay, I just talked about praying scripture. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus that I am the head and not the tail. I thank you that I am not bound by the spirit of fear. I thank you that I possess a sound mind, that I have power, and that I have love, and that perfect love casts out all fear. Begin to pray the word of the Lord back to him. And then take authority. Take authority over it. That's action. And then decondition yourself. And you know, as I always like to close out, and say this, as I close out, I like to say this to you. Self-examination. Take your self-examination on a scale of what? 1 to 5. 1 being what? The lowest in this instant, and 5 being the highest.
Mm-hmm.
What do you fear the most? Name it and put that thing on a scale. Then number 2. On a scale of 1 to 5, how are you treating that fear? Now, remember, there's good fear and there's bad fear. So whether it is good fear or bad fear, on that scale, how are you treating it? How are you treating that fear? If it's fear of the Lord, are you really fearing the Lord with reverence? Are you showing him reverence? Amen? And so
Amen.
I want to close out tonight with the word of prayer, Dr. Lisa. Let's pray for those who are dealing with some area of apprehension and some concerns and not quite sure about making decisions because fear is in control. Let us pray.
Yeah.
Our God and our Father, we honor you tonight for this discussion through these airways. We thank you for those who have tuned in to hear. God, we pray that your spirit would so move in them that where the areas in their lives are trapped in fear, that you would break right now with the spirit of your anointing. Destroy it in the name of your son, Jesus. For we know that your word says that perfect love casts out all fear. So we pray now that your perfect love will overwhelm the hearts of those who are fearing tonight. God, we pray right now that those who are in the wilderness of decision-making and who are perplexed and confused, and the spirit of indecision has got them in its grips because of fear of what might happen, what might be. We pray now that you would grant them a sound mind in the name of Jesus, that your peace right now will surpass their understanding, that they might be able to make sound judgment, and that they might, in the name of Jesus, walk according to your precepts, God. We pray now that they will relinquish all that they are holding on to, that they, in the name of Jesus, will seek you in all that they do, that they will put you first, God, in the name of Jesus. God, that you will release to them, hallelujah, their daily bread. Give them what they have need of right now in this hour. God, we also pray in the name of Jesus that they will not lean to their own understanding about where to go and what to do and when to move and how to move. We pray that you will lead them and guide them into all truth. For you are the God of truth. We pray, God, in the name of Jesus, Father, that you will move like a mighty rushing wind. And God, cause the waters to stir up in them and break the cycle of fear in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We pray, God, that your spirit, Father, would so overwhelm them, God, and consume them, Father, that they will be released today in the name of Jesus, Father. Yes. We pray, God, that you will penetrate their hearts, their minds, and their souls in the name of Jesus. For God, you are well able. There is nothing too hard for you, nothing too difficult for you to do. So God, we praise you and we magnify you and we glorify your holy and righteous name. We ask you now, God, to break the chains of fear and to give your children the power, the tenacity, and the courage and the ability to stand in the face of fear with victory and with triumph. In Jesus' name,
hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Listening audience, God bless you. Dr. Lisa, thank you for sharing with us on tonight. We appreciate what you have brought to us and shared with us. We'll take it, and we know that God is going to be able to use those words that you have spoken to us on tonight at some point. Thank you so kindly. And listening audience, again, join Dr. Rosemary next week on Totally Whole as she presents the a wonderful, I know, insightful and powerful message and word with you all. So join us again next Monday at 7 o'clock. Peace and blessings, and do stay tuned for Family Healing promo. God bless you, and peace and blessings.
Amen.
Welcome to the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and your soul. Every Monday, it is Totally Whole with Pastors Bridget and Pastor Cook. Every Tuesday, it is the Old School Mix with the world-famous DJ Davey D playing the hottest old school R&B, hip-hop, and reggae mixes around. Every Thursday, there's something new just for you. The first Thursday of the month opens with Total Empowerment with Angela Hardy of Simple Wellness Hair and Day Spa. The second Thursday of the month is Reverend Arlene Cahet and Reverend Harvey L. Bailey talking about relationships. Get your relationship questions answered with One Love, One Connection, One Us. The third Thursday of the month is Reverend Jamel Gilliam with The Man Show. It's time to man up with the brother himself, Reverend Jamel, on The Sacred Masculine. Every fourth Thursday of the month, it is The Inner Consciousness with Reverend Harvey L. Bailey. It is the self-help show. And just for you, we have a special on the fifth Thursdays of the month. We have Arlene Cahette coming back with Healing Paradigms, and she's going to offer you all the healing that you need. On Sundays, we have Updraft with the delightful Deletta Gillespie. You won't want to miss an hour or a minute or a day on the Family Healing Circle, where we heal your mind, body, and soul.